On this episode, you'll come to see the character of God in a way that most don't, that he has truly given you all things to enjoy. And the one thing that he's asking of you will enable you to go from one level of blessing to another all the days of your life. Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm excited to get into this episode. If you get this and keep it, you will go from victory to victory, from triumph to triumph. You'll come to understand the marvelous things that my Father God has done, and you'll reap the benefits of blessings that make you stand out from the crowd. Your life will be a reflection that you have a living God, not without challenges, but you will continually overcome them if you keep this. From the beginning of creation, we have missed the character of God. And because of this, we have been trying to do things to please him so we can get his blessings, when he's only asking for one thing: to enjoy his blessings. And we should have seen this when we read about what he did in the beginning of creation. And what he did in the beginning of creation, he did it again in Jesus Christ. And both have been missed by most who are believers in Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve had it made. They literally had it made. The believers in Jesus Christ today have it made. We literally have it made. And God did it. And he has freely given to us all things. I will show you this in the Bible. What you and I have been trying to get, we already have. But we have a deceiver that works 24/7 to stop us from understanding and believing what the Bible says is already ours. And none of us are above deception. But if we stay in communion with God, he will quicken this truth to our spirits. What I'm about to share with you was made alive in my spirit this week. On most Fridays, I fast until the evening, and I take most of the day and spend it in the word and prayer. As I began my time this past Friday, I was tired. Not physically tired, but tired because I've been expecting God to manifest something in my life for quite a while now. And when you've been waiting a long time for something, if you're not careful, you can get discouraged. But when I was done with my time, Holy Spirit had quickened to my spirit that what I've been looking to manifest, I already have. The devil was using the same trick on me that he did with Adam and Eve in the beginning. He deceived them to believe that they had to get something that they already had. Let's look at what he did to them. And I'll show you he's doing the same thing with those who believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This is when the devil used the serpent to deceive Adam and Eve. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Notice that the devil said, "You shall be as gods if you eat." Now let's go to Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Notice that God had already made man in his image and likeness. They already were gods. Psalms 8 says, have I not said that you are gods? Now, it's a little g. But we have been made in the image of God. So Satan deceived them to go after something that they already had. And in doing that, he caused them to throw away the one thing that would have caused them to live in God's blessings for eternity. The one thing God wants from us. Listen to what God told them about the tree. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now, what happens if Adam and Eve believe what God said? They would not have eaten, and they would have run the serpent off with the dominion that they were given. So their issues came because they did not believe God. I'm going to show you this same one thing of belief God is looking for from us in Christ. But first, I want you to see the big picture of God's character we have missed. If you read the first couple of chapters of Genesis, you'll see that God made everything on earth in 6 days. At the end of the sixth day, God made man. When he made man, everything on earth was already finished, and he gave all that he created to Adam and Eve. They did nothing to get it. He gave it to them. No religious works to do. They didn't have to pray 4 hours a day to keep it. It was a gift. Look at the character of our God. He's a giver. He freely gave the earth to them with no strings attached. Think about that. This is not the God that religion shows us, where you have to earn his favor. They did nothing to earn his favor. He gave it to them. God wants one thing from us that will lead to godly conduct. He wants to be believed. He was so pleased by the belief of one man named Enoch that he took him to heaven alive. He never died. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants to be believed, and if we will believe him, he will pour out his love and blessings on us just like he did for Adam and Eve. Now, what he did for Adam and Eve, he has done the same thing for us with Jesus Christ. He has provided for us in a greater way than he did for Adam and Eve. Just like when Adam was created, everything they would ever need was already there for them, so it is in Christ. You're not trying to get anything any more than Adam was trying to get the earth. He already had it, and so do you. It's in understanding what Jesus was saying when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Notice he said a place. Now I'm going to go to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, many believe that Jesus has gone to prepare a mansion for us in heaven. And he may have done that, but that's not what he's talking about here. Notice he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and then I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In the New Testament epistles, the phrase in Christ is stated over 77 times. In addition, the phrase in him, meaning in Christ also, is also mentioned just about as many times. So the place that Jesus went to prepare for us was in himself. I'm going to show you that this place that Jesus prepared is loaded with more than the place God prepared for Adam and Eve, this earth. And to enjoy it, we just have to believe we already have it, just like the Bible says. Now I'm going to go to the first chapter of Ephesians. This first chapter is where Holy Spirit led me on Friday. I spent over 1 hour meditating in just this one chapter. When I was done, I realized that the devil has been doing the same thing with us he did with Adam and Eve. got us going after what we already have, what has been freely provided for us in Christ. I'm going to begin at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to go through this entire chapter, if I can, if time permits. And when I do, if you get what this chapter is saying, you will see that God has done a marvelous thing. And the challenge that many people are having is that they're not reading the Bible for themselves, and they're taking what somebody else is saying. But I want you to listen to this chapter. This is so marvelous. This is so out of this world. If it wasn't written, we'd have a hard time believing God had done something like this. But it's written. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Notice it says the faithful in Christ. You know, in the last episode, I talked about how David was faithful to God, even with all the challenges he went through, that Joseph was faithful through all the challenge. And of course, Jesus, with all the challenge that he went through, they all stayed faithful to God. And look what happened. And so the same thing is true. If we will stay faithful to God, wow, God has some great things in store for us, especially when you understand what this chapter is saying. Verse 2 says this, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just stop and meditate just on that verse, grace, something that God has freely given to us, we didn't earn it. And then he says peace. We have this peace in Christ, and it's from God our Father. The God that I just talked about that gave the earth to Adam and Eve. This is the God that is our Father. And from the Lord, he's not a Lord. He is the Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. And you're going to see through this chapter that he is Lord over everything in heaven and earth. Verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, the blessings are in Christ. And notice the tense. It says, who has, which means that we're not trying to get. We already got it. See, when you understand that we already have it, then now the fatigue of trying to, oh, God, come through. No, he's already done it. And we just praise him and thank him and stand firm that it's already ours. Satan wants us to try to go after something that is already ours. I'm going to read the verse again. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, don't think that that doesn't cover everything on earth, because it does. Everything started in the spirit. Everything that we desire is already in the spirit world. On one of the episodes, I covered how the prophet of God was surrounded by an army. And he said to God, God, open my servant's eyes that he can see that there are more with us than that are against us. And God opened the servant's eyes and he saw chariots of fire around Elijah. Now, they were already there. God just allowed him to see into the realm of the spirit. I'm telling you that everything that we have need of and desire is already in existence. It's already in the realm of the spirit. And even this earth, you're going to see through this chapter that the earth now belongs to Jesus, and he can give whatever he wants to whomever he wants. Let's continue. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, there's that phrase again, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, you have to understand that if we've been placed in Christ, he is the holy place. And because we are in him, we are holy in our spirit. Now, our body is another story, but I want you to understand that we are holy in our spirit because we've been placed in him. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. We've been adopted into the royal family. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? Jesus. There it is again. That's the place that Jesus went to prepare for us. We are in the beloved. So if we're in the beloved, then we are the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have it already. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And this is the mystery of his will that I'm talking about. We've been placed in Christ, in the beloved, in the holy place, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Now listen to this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. See, we have more than Adam and Eve had, because we, Jesus Christ, is now Lord over heaven and earth. Adam was just given the earth. Christ Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth. We got more in this place, and it's not going to happen. It has already happened. Listen to the next verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Notice it says we have obtained. You see, God promised Abraham the world as an inheritance, not something he was going to have to earn. You don't earn an inheritance. It's a gift. Well, when Jesus died and rose again, he was given the earth, everything in heaven and earth, as we just read. So we have it in him. Everything that we would ever want and we would ever desire is already ours in Christ. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, many have said, you could actually come into Christ, and if you do some things wrong, or if you die with sin in your life, then you're not going to heaven. You've lost your salvation. Well, how do you justify this verse? It says, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, not after you did any works, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. we've been deceived. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Do you hear what this is saying? This is saying that the Holy Spirit was just earnest. This was the earnest. To understand this, when you are purchasing a piece of real estate, people put up earnest money. That earnest money usually is not more than 10%. A lot of times it's much less than that, but it's not more than 10%. Look what God did. When you believed, he gave you, we could say it this way, the whole enchilada, everything in the kingdom, because it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise. And we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, and they're all God. So God gave you everything from the beginning. He gave you his Spirit. Now, what else would he hold back from you? No, we've been deceived. When we read this and we take the word literally for what it's saying, which is what's supposed to happen, then man, we go to a whole nother level in our lives. Verse 14 again, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now he's praying that our eyes will be open to see this marvelous thing that God has done. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God inherited something. And you know what the hope of his calling is? That we walk like Jesus Christ. That we walk just like Jesus Christ walked. That is the hope of his calling. And it says what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, when we don't rise up and believe God, we are robbing God from glory because he can't be seen through our lives the way he wants to. See, when we believe him, we will see the manifestation of his glory, and the world will see the manifestation of his glory through us. And all he's asking us to do is to believe what he's already freely given to us. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, notice he said Jesus is seated at his right hand in heavenly places. And Jesus said this, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. And in many places, the Bible says that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. So we are both with him in heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is in us on earth. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He prepared a place that we would be in him, and we would be where he was and where he is, I should say, like he said. Verse 20 again, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, he did this for us. That's why he raised Christ. That's why he came. Verse 21, far above, he's raised Jesus far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. We are his body. And so if everything's under his feet, everything is under our feet. It's already done. We already have it. We've got authority over all the principalities. Everything that Satan has, we have authority over it. Verse 23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all and is in all. In other words, Jesus Christ fills us all, and he is in all of us. People, we have all things already in Christ. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? It's already done. We already have it. It's a free gift. But if we're trying to get it, we don't believe that we have it. And if we don't believe that we have it, we're not pleasing to God, because we can't receive what he's freely given. He's just asking us to believe. Look at the heart of God. It's displeasing to him if we can't receive what he has freely given. We've missed his heart through religion. Look at our God. By faith, I already got it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says, we who believe have entered rest. We have already entered rest. Now, what rest? The same rest that Adam and Eve were given in the beginning, but greater. You see, in Christ, we not only have the earth, but in him we have peace, joy, love, and much more in him. We have all the fullness of the Godhead on the inside of us. Satan does not want you to know that. We have it now, and as we meditate in these truths, they will get in our heart and will run Satan off with his lies like Adam and Eve should have. They missed an eternity of rest and blessing because they didn't believe God and realized that they already had what the devil had them trying to get. We already have everything we will ever need for a fulfilled life in Christ. And keeping things in the right tense will keep us from getting fatigue in trying to get. And we'll rest knowing we already got it in Christ. So give God the praise that you already got what you desire of him. There is a young, radical group of believers coming. They will not be religiotized, but believe the Bible for what it's saying, and they will shake the world for good. They will be vessels that the glory of God will be seen through in a way that the world has never seen before. Will you be in that number? Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay, we'll see you on the next episode.